Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud. We're beginning on the second line from the top Yud Omud Aleph with the words Rav Ada. In yesterday's share, we had a very complex discussion as to why Rebbe called his Talmud Levi as if somebody didn't have brains in his head when he asked, why does our Mishnah only list Chameshes Reinoshim, but Levi said that there should have been 16. And Rebbe, we gave a whole detailed discussion yesterday as to why Rebbe said that that wasn't true. There isn't the 16th one. There is no additional one of Imo Anusas Ovid. But today we're going to give different Terutzim. And we begin, again, second line from the top, Yudom and Aleph, Rav Ador Korchino, Kameder of Kahana, Omar Mishmeder Rava. Rav Ador Korchino said over in the name of Rava, he said this over in front of Rav Kahana. Now, there is an attachment. There are actually two attachments that you'll see in today's shir. You can click on them when you go to the shir at YU Torah. You can click on each one, and they're in downloads. So you'll be able to follow along with what I'm saying. If you can't, for whatever the reason, do that, just try to listen, and hopefully you'll be able to follow along. Today's shir is nowhere near as complicated as yesterday's shir, but it is still something that having diagrams or having an explanation in front of you will make it a little bit easier. So again, Rav Ada Karchina, that was his name, he said over in front of Kahana the following teretz that Rava had given. And that is, Li'olam, in fact, Isle L'Rebbe Hani Klole. That which Amar Yehuda Amar Rav and Tani Rabbi Chia, which we had learned yesterday on Tes Omud Beis, that Bechulad Ani Kore Bahen, Hasur L'Zeh Muteres L'Zeh, Vasur L'Zeh Muteres L'Zeh, I won't explain that again right now. We're going to go into a little bit more today, but that was a lot of the shir yesterday, the second half of the shir yesterday. That klal, we'll call it Rav Chiyas klal, but Rav Yehuda Barav said it as well, that klal, in fact, Rebbe did hold from. Yesterday's shir, we ended off saying Rebbe didn't hold from that klal, and that's why Rebbe was upset with Levi. But in today's shir, we're saying that Rebbe, in fact, Olam is slightly Rebbe Hani Kloli. Rebbe agrees with Rav Chiya that, in fact, Asur Lazeh, Muteris Lazeh, and that we're dealing here with a situation that Achos Hashi Yevim Techoletzes Omisyavemes. Now, in what way, though, is he unhappy with Levi? So, Vahochi Kamale, this is what Rebbe said to Levi. It appears to me that you don't have a brain in your head. He say, you're going to tell me, Levi, Imo Anusas Aviv should be the 16th case? Bechodo Mishkachas Lo. That's impossible. Because yes, Imu Anusas Ovid, a mother who was not the wife of the father, but the mother had been raped or violated or had been seduced by this father and had a child. So in that situation, such a woman, if she was one of the cases in our Mishnah, that would have been the 16th case in our Mishnah, so that's impossible, Rebbe is telling Levi, to fulfill the statement of Rav Chiya that it would be both Asur Lezeh, Muteris Lezeh, and as well to be Achoso Sheyevimta, Holetzes Omisyavemis. Both of those are impossible. Only one of the two is possible, not both of them. Now, what are we talking about? As follows. And here you can see on the first handout that I gave some details. So, we have a case over here where there are two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and there will be additional brothers, Levi and Yehuda, as well. And there are two sisters, Rachel and Leah. And again, Rachel marries Reuven, and Shimon marries Leah. Now, Rachel and Leah are violated by Yaakov, who is the father of Reuven and Shimon. Again, you can see this on my diagram very clearly. There's a diagram in the art scroll. I'm going to stick with my diagram today. So we have Yaakov has four sons. Two of them were from a legal marriage to his wife Rivka, that's Reuven and Shimon, and two of them, he assaulted them, he seduced them in some way, and Yaakov had a relationship with Rachel, he had a relationship with Leah, their two sisters, and they each had a son, Levi and Yehuda. So Reuven, Shimon, Levi and Yehuda all had the same father, Yaakov. Now, Rachel and Leah were never wives of Yaakov, and according to the opinion of the Chachamim, that you're allowed to go marry Anusas Aviv, so then Reuven was permitted to go and marry Rachel. She's Anusas Aviv, but he's permitted to marry her. And Shimon was permitted to marry Anusas Aviv Leah. So Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters that happen to also be Anusas Aviv. Now, what happens next? Reuven and Shimon now die each childless. Their wives, in other words, Rachel and Leah, Rachel the wife of Reuven, Leah the wife of Shimon, each falls to Levi and to Yehuda for Yibam. Now, Levi and Yehuda are paternal brothers with Reuven and Shimon, so the din of Yibam applies. However, they're not able to go and do Yibam to either Rachel or Leah, as well as any other wives that Reuven or Shimon had, the tsaros of Rachel and Leah, for the following reason. And you can see this on my diagram. When Reuven and Shimon die childless, so Rachel and Leah fall to Yibam, to Levi and Yehuda. However, Levi isn't able to marry Rachel because that's his mother. So therefore, if Levi can't marry Rachel, he also can't marry the tsara of Rachel, any other wives that Reuven had. But likewise, Levi can't marry Leah. He's not allowed to have Yibam with Leah. Well, it's not his mother, it's his mother's sister, Achos Imo. So therefore, Levi can't do Yibam with Chalitza with either Rachel or with Leah or with any of the tsaros. Similarly, Yehuda, he can't marry Rachel because it's Achos Imo. And he certainly can't marry Leah, that's his mother. And therefore, all the tsaros are pater as well. Therefore, we have over here the situation where they're Achoso, they're both sisters, Shehi Yevimta, that is Mishkachas, that you can have. You have that both of them fell, Rachel and Leah are sisters, and they fell as Yevamos. However, Asur Lezeh, Muter Lezeh, Lo Mishkachas. This is what Rebbe is telling Levi. You can't have both of the clauses of Rabbi Chiya in this situation. You only have one of the two. Either you have Achos, two sisters that fell in Yibam, but they're Asur Lezeh, and Asur Lezeh, not Muter Lezeh, Asur Lezeh. Or, if in fact Rachel and Leah were not sisters, so then yes, you would have Muteris Lezeh, Asur Lezeh, Muteris Lezeh, Asur Lezeh. Because if Rachel and Leah are not sisters, so then Levi wouldn't be allowed to marry Rachel or the tsara of Rachel, but he could do Yibam with Leah. And vice versa, Yehuda wouldn't be able to have Yibam with Leah, his mother, or with any of the tsaras of Leah, but he could do Yibam with Rachel. However, they're not sisters in this situation. So bottom line is, now we go to the Gemara. If in fact Yaakov had assaulted two sisters, Rachel and Leah were sisters, so then achos sheyavim to mishkachaslo, it could be that the two sisters fell in Yibam. However, hasul zeh mutar zeh lo mishkachas, you wouldn't have it that one would be permissible, one would not. They're both not permissible. And in fact, v'shtei nachrios on us, if Rachel and Leah are not sisters, so then yes, as I pointed out, hasul lezeh mutar lezeh. While Levi wouldn't be able to have Yibam with Rachel, he could have with Leah, or with the tzaras of Leah, no problem. And Yehuda couldn't have Yibam with Leah or the tzara of Leah, but he could have Yibam with Rachel or the tzara of Rachel. So in this situation, if they're nochrios, if Rachel and Leah are not sisters, we do fulfill Hasur Lezeh, Muteris Lezeh, Mishkachaslo, that you can have. However, Achos or Sheyavimta, to have them as sisters, lo Mishkachaslo, that wouldn't be the case. So therefore, Rebbe is telling Levi, I don't know what you were thinking, that this is the 16th case. It doesn't fulfill Rabbi Chiya's criteria. Now we have another teretz. Why Rebbe was upset with Levi for suggesting that there's a 16th erva that our Mishnah didn't list. Rav Ashi Amar, in fact, Liolam les lei l'Rebbe haniklali. In fact, Rebbe doesn't agree with Rabbi Chiya. He doesn't agree with Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rab, the Tani Rabbi Chiya. He doesn't agree with that. Les lei haniklali. But he says, in fact, our Mishnah is dealing with a machlokis. In yesterday's shiur, we ended off by saying that Rebbe doesn't agree with these klalim, and our Mishnah doesn't have a machlokis. So today we're suggesting a different teretz. Rav Ashi says that our Mishnah is in fact talking about that there is a machlokis. And therefore, why not have the 16th one, like Levi said, that this is Imo Anusas Aviv? So the Gemara says, Umay kimedumani shein lo moach b'kod kodko dekamar le. So why was Rebbe telling Levi such a harsh language? It looks to me like you don't have a brain in your head. Hachi kamar le. This is what Rebbe is telling Levi. Mai taima lo daikis masnisin. Why weren't you more careful in learning our Mishnah? Now our Mishnah is not only the Mishnah we had on Daf Beis, it's continued with the same for the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. And he's pointing out that if you had looked at the entire Mishnah, both that which we have on Daf Beis and that which we have on Yud Gimel, you wouldn't say what you're suggesting, that there's a 16th case in our Mishnah. And that's why he told him, my time alo deyakto masnisin, why weren't you more careful? Because the masnisin Rabbi Yehudahi, our Mishnah is of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Osar ba'anusas aviv, as opposed to the Chachamim, who say that you are allowed to marry anusas aviv. our Mishnah, if you had been careful in being medayik in it from the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, you would have seen that our Mishnah on Daf Beis is going only with the court, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't allow you to go and marry Anusas Aviv. And therefore, your 16th case of Imo Anusas Aviv doesn't get off the ground. Why is that? Diktoni, because the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel teaches us Sheis Arayos Chamuros Me'elu. In addition to the 15 Arayos that we mentioned on Daf Beis, the Sefer of the Mishnah says there are another 6 Arayos. Now, it calls them more Chamuros. They're not more Chamuros in terms of the punishment. They're Chamuros in terms of they don't fit in the din of our Mishnah. And that is because Mipnei Shein Nisuos La'Cherim, because there's no way that they can ever marry a brother. The Isser of Erva in our 15 cases of the Mishnah was only to one brother, but wasn't necessarily an Erva to all the other brothers. But the 6 cases that I mentioned in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, so those are all Erva to all of the brothers. And that's why, Mipnei Shein Nesuos L'Acherim, they can only be married to other people, but they can't be married to a different brother. In other words, if they're an Erva to Reuven, those 6 cases would also be an Erva to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. They would not be allowed to marry any brother, as opposed to the 15 cases in our Mishnah. For example, Kalosso, it's only the Kalosso of Reuven, but it's not the Kalosso of Shimon, etc., etc. And therefore, Mipnei Shehein Nesuos La'Cherim, Sarosei and Mutaros. The only time that Sara is Aser is via Yibam, if the wife of one wife is an Erva, so then all the Tsaros are Mutaros. But if it's not the Makum Yibam, if they're married to somebody else, as we had already pointed out earlier in the Shiurim a few days ago, just because the Tsara happens to be the tzara of an erva, if it's not in the setting of Yibam, the fact that this woman once was a co-wife with your daughter-in-law doesn't mean that you wouldn't be allowed to go and marry that woman. The fact that she was a co-wife with your daughter-in-law that was an erva to you doesn't mean that you couldn't marry her. And that's why, if Levi had been medayek, he would have seen this in our Mishnah. So therefore, what are those 6 arayas that we mentioned in the Mishnah in Yud Gimel? Imo, your mother, the Ashes Aviv, and the wife of your father. Now, if Imo, who is also the wife of your father, were to be talking about a mother that was married to the father, so then it would have been repetitive. It wouldn't have had to say Imo, the Ashes Aviv. It would have just said one of them. Ashes Aviv, by definition, would be Imo. So it must be over here that Imo is Anusas Aviv. And therefore, even though she wasn't married to the father, it would be not permitted. She's one of those 6 women that's not permitted to marry any of the brothers because Anusas Aviv is like Rabbi Yehuda Paskins, usher to be married to any of the sons of the father. You're not allowed to marry Anusas Aviv. And therefore, if you'd been careful, Rebbe tells Levi, in looking at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, you would have realized that our Mishnah goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to marry Anusas Aviv. Let's just finish off. It mentions over here 3 of those arayas of the 6. It says, Imo ve'eshes Aviv, Yachos Aviv. And on Daf Yud Gimel, it also mentions the other 3, Achos of Yoviv, a paternal sister, the Ashes, the wife of Achi Aviv, your aunt, your father's brother's wife, Ashes Achi Aviv, and the Ashes Achiv, and the wife of your brother, May Aviv, a paternal brother, his wife. So all 6 of these women are not only forbidden to marry one of the brothers, they're forbidden to marry all of the brothers. And now we see, my Imo. Now we can see inside what I just said outside. What is it referring to when it says Imo? Obviously, Ilemo Nisuas Aviv, it was talking about the father's wife, so then, Hainu Ashes Aviv. That's already the second thing that's mentioned, Ashes Aviv. It wouldn't repeat it twice. Elolab, mustn't it be, if you had been careful, Rebbe tells Levi, you would have been medayek, that it's talking about Anusas Aviv. And since Uktani Mipnei Shein Nisuos La'Cherim, they're only allowed to marry other people, but they can't marry any of the other brothers. La'Cherim Min La'Achim Lo. They could marry outside to other people, but they can't marry any of the brothers. Therefore, Svara Rabbi Yehuda. This obviously is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't allow you to marry Anusas Aviv. Now, if that is talking about Rabbi Yehuda, the Osav Anusas Aviv, then Mishum Hachi Lo Tani Lo. That's why our Mishnah didn't list the 16th case, because Imo Anusas Aviv is impossible according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if you look at the bottom of the first handout that I have, I'm now going to follow through the Gemara in a question and answer format like you'll see inside the Gemara. So this answer that Rav Ashi gave is questioned. Amalei Ravina or Rav Ashi. Ravina questions this, and he says to Rav Ashi, Li Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Mishkachas Lo. Wait a second, we could still find this case according to Rav Yehuda if the Avar Binosif, if in fact one of the brothers married Anusas Aviv. Now, they're not allowed to. Rav Yehuda says you're not allowed to, but Rav Yehuda agrees that it's only a lav. But that means that the marriage would take effect. You'd be over a lav, but the kedusha would be chal. And therefore, you could have Reuven marrying such an Anusas Aviv, for example, and then if Reuven dies, so he was over an Isser, but in fact, Yibam would be required, or at least chalitza. The E Avar Vinosiv, as the Gemara says, if in fact Reuven went against this, that's what Ravina is asking Rav Ashi, he went against this. What if he was over on this Slav? So wouldn't that be a case, and therefore Levi would say that our Mishnah could be talking about that case because Reuven was over in Isser, but nevertheless the Kedushim were Chal. So what would Rav Ashi respond to that? He says, De'i lok tani. We're not talking about such a case. The answer is, we're not talking about a case where an illegal marriage occurred. But the Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi himself now asks, he said, granted, I said, we're not talking about an illegal case, but below the E, even without an illegal case, I can also show you Nami Mishkachasla. We also could have that this could occur. And here you can see my sheet, the handout, with the following relationship. Yaakov is married to a woman named Rivka, and they have a son, Reuven. Reuven then gets married to a woman named Rachel. And Yaakov is Ma'anes Rachel, and they have a son, Shimon. So Yaakov raped or assaulted his daughter-in-law, Rachel, and they have a son, Shimon. Now, Shimon and Reuven are half-brothers, paternal half-brothers, so there could be potential for Yibam in this situation. So Yaakov onas kaloso. Yaakov had raped his daughter-in-law, and they had a child, v'holi b'men of Bain, which we'll call Shimon. Umeis Reuven. Now Reuven dies. Reuven doesn't have any children below Bonim. The naflo law kamei bro. And now, what happens? Rachel falls in Yibam as the wife of Reuven. She falls to Reuven's brother, his paternal brother Shimon, which happens to be her son. So obviously, Umigu, the E, Asira, since she obviously can't fall Yibam to her son, so Tsaras and Nami Asira. So any other wives that Reuven had would also be. This is the Tsaras Erva case, and they should also be Asir. So why wasn't this case listed? You do have Anusas Aviv. So we do have the 16th case. So this is what Rav Ashi himself questions. Rav Kana says, Amalei, Rav Kana says to Rav Ashi, Bi'achvoso dehetero kamayre, Bi'achvoso de yisur lo kamayre. We're dealing over here with brothers that were permitted. When we've been dealing in our Mishnah, the 15 cases, that we're dealing with Reuven and Shimon that were legitimate brothers with each other. But we're not dealing with a case over here of adultery. We're not dealing here with a case where Yaakov was Ma'anes Rachel, and that's how Shimon came into the world. So with the Yisurim, our Mishnah is not dealing with. And that's why there are only 15 cases in the Mishnah and not this 16th possible case, which Levi was alluding to, but Rebbe says our Mishnah is not dealing with Isurim. What would Levi respond to Rebbe? Rebbe said, Levi, you don't seem to have a brain in your head. So the Gemara says, the Alpha Pekin, even though Rebbe was very harsh on Levi and said, you should have checked into this. In fact, Botka Levi, Levi did check into it, B'masnise, and the Tani Levi, he felt as follows. Imo pamim poteris sarasa upamim eno poteris sarasa, and he felt that sometimes yes, you could have a case where she is poteris sarasa, and sometimes she would not be poteris sarasa. And here you can turn to the second handout that I have, and you can see the two possibilities: ein poteris sarasa and poteris sarasa. Ketzad, how is this? The Gemara says, haisa imo nisuas aviv. If in fact the mother of Shimon was indeed married to Yaakov. So in my case, we have Yaakov had two wives. One wife is Rachel, and Rachel gives him a son, Shimon, and the other wife is Chana, and they have a son, Reuven. So Reuven and Shimon are paternal brothers. They're different mothers, but they're paternal brothers. The din of Yibam applies. And then Reuven is married to Leah. She is unrelated to Rachel in this situation. That's his wife. But then he also marries his father's wife. It's not his mother, but his father's wife, Rachel. He marries her. Now, this cannot take effect. This kedushin doesn't take effect. And therefore, ha'isa imo nisuas aviv, in a situation where Rachel was actually married to Yaakov, and then through Isser, and she married Reuven. It's not a legal marriage. The Kedusha doesn't take effect. And then Umeis, and then Reuven dies. So therefore, you might have said that Rachel is married to Reuven. This is an erva to Shimon. Obviously, it's Shimon's mother. Yibum can't take effect. So Leah should be Poteres. She's the co-wife, the tzara of an erva. So the answer is over here, in this situation, Zuhi Imo She'ein Poteres Sarasa, because in this situation, Rachel's marriage to Reuven never got off the ground. It doesn't halachically take effect. So even though they think they're married, but they're not, the Kedushin can't be chal on Eishes Aviv. So therefore, Leah, in this situation, is the only wife of Reuven. There isn't another wife, Rachel. And therefore, in this situation, Leah would fall in Yibum to Shimon. However, and we turn to Yudam Beis, if the case was Hoysa Imo Anusas Ovid, if we have the second diagram that I have here, where Yaakov wasn't married to Rachel, he just had relations with her that produced a brother, Shimon, produced their son Shimon, who's a brother to Reuven, who was a regular legitimate marriage. So Reuven and Shimon, again, are half-brothers, they're paternal brothers, they're different mothers, but they have the same father, Yaakov. But now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Reuven is not allowed to marry Rachel, but in fact, even if he does marry her, the Kiddushin are chal. Well, he's not allowed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chacham say you are allowed to, but even according to Yehuda, you're not allowed to marry Rachel. Everybody agrees the Kiddushin are chal. So now, Reuven marries Rachel. That's a legitimate marriage. And Leah is a co-wife of a legitimate marriage to Rachel. And therefore, if Reuven now dies, so both Rachel and Leah fall to Shimon, and in this situation, since Rachel is his mother, so there's no possibility of Yibam, so in this situation, Poteres Sarasa, Rachel is Poteres Leah in this situation, and therefore Leah can't get married either to Yibam and doesn't need Chalitza to Shimon. And that's what the Gemara says. Ha'isa imo anusa soviv, if Rachel was only an anusa to Yaakov, v'nises le'ochiv me'oviv umeis, and then she marries Reuven, that marriage takes effect according to everybody, and then Reuven dies, zuhi imo shepoteres sarasa. Here's an example where Shimon's mother, Rachel, is going to pater Leah from needing Yibam or Chalitza. And even though technically our Mishnah only wrote 15, Levi said, Levi felt that there could have been a 16th one. This case that we just described, according to Levi, that could be the 16th case. And this is the understanding fully of the machlokas between Rebbe and Levi. Now the Gemara has another machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rebbe Yochanan. You can see this in my diagram, my handout as well. And follow along in the handout as well as in the Gemara. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan the following, Lelevi, according to Levi, Domar, Di'i, Namik, Tani. According to Levi, who says that our Mishnah does talk about cases that could only occur if there was an illegal marriage. So even though our Mishnah clearly follows, as we pointed out, if you check out the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel, the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, it clearly shows that our Mishnah goes according to Yehuda, says you're not allowed to marry Anusas Aviv. Yet, clearly, the case that we just described, Levi was Bodek, he checked it out, and he felt that you could apply the 16th case if Reuven married Rachel, Anusas Aviv. So therefore, he clearly holds the E. Levi, the Omar, the E, maybe what if Nami Ktani, we are considering that situation. So then Lisne, so the Reish Lakish said, you could have had a 17th case. Hacholeitz liyevimto v'chazar v'kitcha. What happens if a person died childless? So he's supposed to do Yibum Chalitza with his wife, and they did Chalitza, and then after that, the brother married her. Now, Umeis below Bonim, and then that brother died without children. Now you can see on my sheet, I pointed out, Reish Lakish says he had the brother who did Chalitza marry that woman. He's over a lav. But again, we just said that Levi says, oh, we are talking about D.E. What happens if you were over a lav? So the brother who did Chalitza, he has a lav to go and marry that woman. But he did. He was over on this lav and he married her. And he married the Chalitza. So let's give it names over here. We have several brothers. We have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven dies, his wife falls to Shimon, also to Levi. Shimon does Chalitza, and then he marries her. And then Shimon dies, and now the wife again falls to Levi. So what's the din? Hacholeitz liyevimto v'chozav v'kitcha. Umeis below banim. So that's where we're up to in the Gemara. Again, Reuven died without children. His wife falls in Yibam to either Shimon or to Levi. Shimon does Chalitza, but then he marries her. He's over alive. And now Shimon dies. And this woman, who once was the wife of Reuven, now was the wife of Shimon, falls in Yibam to Levi. Umeis below banim. The Migu, the Asura, since she is not allowed to go and have Yibam with Levi, because she's Asur to Levi, because she's undergone Chalitza, and a woman who's undergone Chalitza is Asur, according to Reish Lakish, to all the other brothers within Isser of Kares. It's only to the brother who did Chalitza, and we'll see this in the Gemara, it's only Alav, but all the other brothers, it's an Isser of Kares to marry them. So this woman still has an Isser of Kares to go and marry Levi. And therefore, just like she doesn't require Yibam or Chalitza herself, so too, all the other Tzaros would not require Chalitza. Demigu, or Yibam, Demigu, Dei Asura, Tzarasa Nami Asura. So this should be another case. Why wasn't this case mentioned in the Mishnah? Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan tells Reish Lakish, Lefisha Eino Bitzaras Tzara. The reason why is because, not because this technical case could have been listed, but because you couldn't go and have him marry Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, like we had in the Mishnah, that not only is the Tzara Poteres, but Tzaros, Tzaros saying, if there was a legitimate marriage down the line, so then all the other Tzaros would also be exempted. Here, since all of the brothers, not only Levi, if there was Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, all of the brothers couldn't get married to her, so therefore, that's why it's not listed in the Mishnah. But you're right, for this part, it would technically be correct. It's just the fact that there's no going down the line further. She couldn't marry not only Levi, but she couldn't marry Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. She couldn't marry any of them because the Isser of Kares applied to all of them once she had Chalitza with Shimon. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yochanan tells him, technically, you're right, but you don't have the din of Tzaros, Tzaros Seyim. That's why it's not listed in the Mishnah. Now, why did Rabbi Yochanan give this teretz? Rabbi Yochanan could have said, because he disagrees with Reish Lakish, he could have just said, yeah, they're all with a lav. He could have said, because, in fact, he holds that all of them would be allowed to have Yibam or Chalitza, because it's only a lav, not an Isser of Kares. So there was a much simpler teretz that Rabbi Yochanan could have given, that all of the cases are in fact allowed to have Yibam or Chalitza. So Gemara says, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, according to you, Reish Lakish. According to me, Rabbi Yochanan, I don't have a problem. But even according to you, Reish Lakish, Lidvarov Karmelei, Rabbi Yochanan was answering according to Reish Lakish. Lididi Chayavi Lavinheim. I hold that there's only a lav over here. Not only is the one who did Chalitza, he has only a lav, not an Isser of Kares, to marry that woman, but he holds it all the brothers. We'll see this in a moment in the Gemara. He holds it all the brothers is only an Isser of lav. V'chayavim lavim b'nei chalitza v'yivininu. And technically, if you fall to somebody and there's only a lav, so you do technically fall for Yibam, albeit we say, don't do Yibam, we say do chalitza, not to be over the lav. So therefore, that's why it's not listed in the Mishnah, according to me. Ela lididach, according to you, Reish Lakish, Chayavi Krisis Ninu, all the other brothers have an Isser of Kares there. Only the one who did Chalitza, he only has a lav. So then, Lefi, She'enam B'tzarasara. That's why he couldn't have married Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali. None of them were allowed to be married. So therefore, that's why, according to you, Reish Lakish, it's not listed in the Mishnah. Now, what exactly is this machlokus between Reish Lakish and Yochanan Itmar? Now the Gemara tells us, Hacholetz liyavimta v'chaz v'kitcha. If somebody did chalitza to the Yavama, we again have the brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Reuven dies, and any one of the brothers could do Yibam, any one of the brothers could do chalitza, and Shimon, in fact, does chalitza. And then he goes and marries her after he did chalitza. He should not have done that. Everybody agrees to that, and it's a lav for him to do that. I'm Reish Lakish. Who ain't no chayav ala chalutza kares? However, v'achin chayav ala chalutza kares. Reish Lakish's opinion is only that brother that did the chalitza, he's the only one that would only be over a lav if he then went and married her. Any of the other brothers, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, any of the other brothers, if they went and married the chalutza, they would be over in Isser of kares. V'achin chayav ala chalutza kares. And we'll see, this is based upon the psukim. And therefore, Al HaTzara, concerning the Tzara in this situation, so when Reuven died, and he had two wives, he had the one that had Chalitza undergoing with Shimon, and another wife. So, Bein Hu, Ubein Hu Achim, Chayavim HaTzara Kores. So then, Shimon, if he were to go and marry the other wife, who he didn't give Chalitza to, and certainly if any of the other brothers were to marry the other wife, that would be an Isser of Kores. Ha'achim chayovin al tzor kores bein hu ubeino achim. However, Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, no, they all are functioning on the same level. Bein hu ubeino achim eino chayovin lo ala chalutza kores v'lo ala tzor kores. There's only an issur lav. Once you do chalitza, you've gotten rid of the issur of eishes ach. It's no longer eishes ach. The only issur now is chalutza. And chalutza is not an issur of kares, it's just a lav. What exactly is the understanding of this machlokis? So it goes as follows. My time of the Rish Lakish, why does Rish Lakish say that only the one who did chalitza has a lav, the others all have an issur of kares? Because he says, Amakra, the pasuk says, Asher lo yivne, that he didn't go and build his brother's house. Kivan shehu lo bona, shuv lo yivne. He has a lav, he's never allowed to build it again. But the Eishes Ach no longer is there. He did Chalitza, that removed the Eishes Ach, but there is a lav, since you didn't go and marry her, so you're not allowed to go and marry her anymore. But it's only a lav. Everybody else, however, has the Issur of Kares. So Ehu, this brother Shimon, who did Chalitza, who decoy below Yivne, he's the only one that has this lav of you didn't build it, so you're never allowed to build it. However, all the Achim, all the other brothers, Aval Echov, they remain with their original Isser of Eishesach. And when Shimon did Chalitza to her, so she, and only she, not the other Tzoros, only she has the Isser of Lo Yivne with him, Hotzara. But the other wives, the co-wives, they remain with the Isser of Kares. So bottom line, Reish Lakish says, based upon this pasuk, Asher Lo Yivne, there's a lav only with Shimon and the chalutza. Everybody else, all the other brothers, and any tzara, they have an issur of kares. And Rav Yochanan disagrees totally. Rav Yochanan, he says, they're all working together here. It's all shlichus, both for the chalutza and the tzara, as well as all the brothers. So, mi ikar midi, de meikara. How could it possibly be that originally, if originally Shimon wanted to do chalitza, that'd be fine. If Levi wanted to do chalitza, would be fine. If Yehuda wanted to do chalitza, would be fine. And if they wanted to do with co-wife number one versus co-wife number two, it would all be fine. They could do whichever one they wanted to. So it turned out that Shimon did it with the chalutza, that specific co-wife. Now, is it possible that the others have kares and this one doesn't? No. They were all acting as shlichim for each other. Ella, ihu shlichuso di achim ka'avid. This brother, he acted on behalf of Levi and Yehuda, and he did chalitza with one of the co-wives, and therefore, all of them are now with the din of lo yivne, not only Shimon, but Levi, Yehuda, etc. as well. And Ehi, the co-wife that he did chalitza with, she acted as a shliach on behalf of the other co-wives. Ehi, shlichuso ditzara ka'avda. So all of them now have the issa of lo yivne, but no longer the issa of kares. That's Rav Yochanan's understanding. Again, Reish Lakish disagreed. He said only the two that actually did the chalitza have the lav. Everybody else still has the issa of kares. Now the Gemara is going to question this understanding of Reish Lakish from the following brisa. The brisa will have two parts to it. We'll call the Reish and the Sefer, and you can see this outlined in my handout as well, and we'll follow along in the Gemara. Eisei Rav Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, wait a second, the following brisa seems to disagree with you. The brisa says, Acholetz li'yavimto, if you do chalitza to the yavama, the chaz of a kitchen, then you go and remarry her, mace, and then you die. So again, Shimon did chalitza with Reuven's wife. Reuven passed away childless, and now Shimon, after he did chalitza, he married her. And then Nebuchi dies, Umes. So now this woman, who had previously been the wife of Reuven, had undergone chalitza, but then had marriage with Shimon, and now falls in Yibam again to Levi, Yehuda, etc. Tzricha chalitza min achim. She requires chalitza from the other brothers. Now, how is this a question on Reish Lakish? So Rav Yochanan says, Bishlomo l'didi, according to me, de'amino chayvi lavim yinhu, I hold that the other brothers have only a lav with her. So that's why we understand why she falls Yibam to Levi. She falls Yibam to Yehuda. And therefore, while we don't allow them to do Yibam, because there's an Isser involved, it's a lav, so we say, do chalitza. So therefore, that's why I say, Bishlomo l'didi, de'amino chayvi lavim yinhu, haynu d'tzricho chalitza menachem. That's why we require Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, one of them to do chalitza with her. But according to you, el didach, according to you, only Shimon had a lav. The others all have an Isser of Kares. And when an Isser of Kares falls, there is no Yibam and there's no Chalitza. So Rav Yochanan asked this to Reish Lakish, Kash on you. Rish Lakish responds, hey, you have the same problem that I do. Ulutaymech, according to you, what, you have no problem? And you must say, keep on reading the Braisa. What does it say at the end of the Braisa? The Braisa continues and says, what happens if Levi went and married her? Amad Echom in Achav Kitcha. If Levi Yehuda went and married her, Ein La Olav Klum. That's as if nothing happened. She doesn't require a get. It's as if no marriage was done. Now, wait a second. That works out great if there was an Isser of Karis involved, like Reish Lakish says, like I say. If Levi had an Isser of Karis with her so the marriage doesn't get off the ground. If the marriage doesn't get off the ground, that's why she can go scot-free. Even though she was married by this Levi, the marriage didn't take any effect. It had no halachic impact. And she's free, Lashuk, and she can go marry somebody else without a get. That's if you hold like me, Reish Lakish says. But according to you, that it's only alav, and that's why you required chalitza, so then, am I in law of klum? So then she should require a get. Because if the marriage was only prohibited by alav, so then kiddushin would take effect. And then her kiddushin with Levi or Yehuda would in fact take effect. And how can you say she goes off scot-free? So what you have over here is a paradox. The Reisha seems to go like Rav Yochanan, and the Seifa seems to go like Reish Lakish. What are you going to do? So we have three terutzim. So, Amar Rav Sheshis says the first teretz is as follows. Seifa, also Rabbi Akiva, the second part of this braisa, which says that ain la ala klum, so in that situation, it means to go like Rabbi Akiva, who says, the Amar ain kiddushin tofsim l'chayvi lavim. We're going to have this later in the Masechta. I mentioned this yesterday, that there are five different explanations under what circumstances a mamzer child can be born, from what type of a prohibited relationship can be born. Rabbi Akiva has a very strict opinion that says even if it's alav for them to have married, that child is a mamzer, as opposed to, which was what we hold, lemaisa, which is it has to be a level of a chayvi kares to make a child a mamzer. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is what the Sefer is talking about over here. Yes, it's only alav. However, since we're going like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, so that lav would make into a mamzer, and therefore there is no kiddushin according to Rabbi Akiva. Ain kiddushin tovsim b'chayvi lavim, and that's why she goes away scot-free. Ain law olav klum, because it's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara doesn't like this. The Gemara says, "So then say so." But listen, l'divrei Rabbi Akiva, ain law olav klum. It's only according to Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara that we have is law olav klum, but the Bach changes around. Ain law olav klum. In any event, you should have said so. If this is only going according to Rabbi Akiva, it would have been worthwhile mentioning it. So therefore, Rav Sheshis is. Answer is left with, and we turn to Yud Aleph or Mud Aleph Kasha. It's difficult. Again, Kasha doesn't mean we slug it up totally, but it's a difficulty. Okay, that's Teretz number one. Teretz number two is Ravashi. Ravashi saw the law Reish Lakish. Ravashi says the whole thing goes like Reish Lakish. Umataritz law Rabbi Shimon. If you hold like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, what is Rabbi Shimon? That's something that we had previously. If you remember back from the earlier Shurim in this Masechta, we talked about if you have a brother that wasn't yet born at the time that the brother died childless, so you have Reuven and Shimon that were brothers in the world, and Reuven dies, and then a Levi, another child is born, so then we talked about, this is an Ach Lo Hayo Be'olam, and we had the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that said, if Shimon had done Yibam already with Reuven's wife, and only subsequent Levi is born, so then Rabbi Shimon's opinion was, then that's not called Ach Shelo Hayo Be'olam, because when this Levi was born, he never saw Reuven with Reuven's wife, either alive when Reuven was alive or when Reuven was dead. All he sees is Shimon married to Reuven's widow. And therefore, that's not according to Rabbi Shimon, Eishes Ach Shelo Hayo Be'olam. And therefore, if you hold like this opinion of Rabbi Shimon, you can say that this entire braisa goes like Reish Lakish. So Rav Ashi saw like Reish Lakish, Umataritz like Rabbi Shimon, within this opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which we'll see more inside in a moment. Ravina saw like Rabbi Yochanan. Ravina, on the other hand, says the entire braisa goes like Rabbi Yochanan, Umataritz Rabbanan, who argue with Rabbi Shimon and say that even in that situation where Levi only was born after Shimon had already done Yibam with Reuven's widow, so then in that situation, nevertheless, it's still called Eishesach Shelo Hayol Be'olam. Now, let's understand this and go through this. So, the second teretz is Ravashi. Ravashi saw the Loka Reish Loki, Shimon Taras Loka Rabbi Shimon. How is that as follows? Read the Braisa. Hacho Leitzli Avim Tov V'Chaz V'Kitcha. In the situation where Reuven passes away, childless, and Shimon does Chalitza with her, and then Shimon marries her. Hacho Leitzli Avim Tov V'Chaz V'Kitcha. So that kiddushin was over a lav, but the kiddushin takes effect. Now, Shimon dies, and this woman falls to Levi, Yehuda. Tzricha chalitza min achem. We say like Reish Lakish, that this is a requirement of chalitza from the other brothers. Now, how come? If it's an Isser of Karetz, according to Reish Lakish, why should they require chalitza? They should go scot-free. So he says, Man Achen, which brothers are we referring to? Achen Hayiludin. We're talking here about brothers that were born after the chalitza and the kiddushin. This is a Levi, a Yehuda, a Yisachar Zvulun that was born after Shimon had married her, after he had done the chalitza. He then married her, and only then was this Levi born. And this is Kiman, this is like Rabbi Shimon, who says this is not considered Eish Yisach Shalom Yabbi Olam, and therefore there is a requirement over here of chalitza. Tzricha chalitza min ha'achim. Now, why not do Yibam? Again, you don't do Yibam because there was an Isser involved over here, so we don't recommend doing Yibam when there was an Isser involved, albeit the Kiddushin was chal. Amar Echa ben Ha'adam Mikitsha, if in fact one of the brothers, however, who was born before the chalitza took effect, went and married her, Ein lo olav klum. In that situation, the kiddushin is nachal. There was an isser of karis over here. Kiman kareish lakish. And this is exactly like Reish Lakish, that all the other brothers have an isser of karis. And therefore, ein lo olav klum. They don't need anything. That's the second teretz, Rav Ashi's teretz. We'll go a little bit further. Ravina savalok Rav Yochanan, mataris lali Rabbanan. Ravina says, no, the entire braisa can be learned like Rav Yochanan, and we can explain this in accord with the opinion of the Rabbanan that argue with Rabbi Shimon over here. Now, what happened? Again, Reuven died childless. Shimon did chalitza, and then he married her. So everybody agrees that marriage was wrong. However, the kiddushin takes effect. It's only a lav lo yivone, and that kiddushin takes effect. Then Shimon dies, and according to Rav Yochanan, everybody else also is only an isser lav. Therefore, tzaricha chalitza menachem. When Shimon dies, now childless, so this wife was former widow of Reuven, his wife, Shimon's wife, his widow. So there is a chiv of chalitza. We don't do yibam. Technically, you could do yibam, but since there was an isser involved, we say you have to do chalitza. Now, which brothers are we talking about here? Man Achin, Achin and Ladu. We're talking here about the brothers that were already alive at the time that the first chalitza was done. And there is an isser lav on them, and therefore, you have to do chalitza, not yibam. Keman Kerv Yochanan. This is exactly like the opinion of Yochanan. But then the second part, Omad Echo Menayeludim Vikidsha, if one of the brothers that was born only afterwards, after the chalitza and kiddushin took place with Shimon, then Levi was born, and now he comes along, the kidsha, so ein lo olav klum. This is not a marriage, because this is according to the machlokis with Rabbi Shimon, the chachamim who argue with Rabbi Shimon, this is an eishes ach shelo yabbi olam, is an isser of kareis, and therefore, this is not a marriage at all. It's no longer just a lav. This is now an isser of kareis. Kiman, this is like the opinion Kirabbanan who argue with Rabbi Shimon. So this is the third teretz over here, how we can reconcile this brisa. I hope my handouts are able to be accessed easily, and I hope you're able to understand it. With this, we conclude today's shiur. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up over here tomorrow.